You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We'll use this time warp as a little bit of a bed for us to talk about some budgeting and how to avoid debt traps here for the fresh faces making their way to university for the first time. Now, good morning to Wazza from Westpac.
Hey, morning.
Oh, let me turn that on. There we go. Got the right one going now.
Morning, Johnny. Thanks very much.
And now, what's your official title at Westpac?
Yeah, my official title is the Program Manager of Westpac New Zealand, Program Manager of Financial Wellbeing, Westpac New Zealand, and our Institutional Business Banking. So a long-ass title, but literally in essence, all about supporting financial education.
Yes. Well, we've had someone text in already saying, my son thought you said how to avoid death traps at uni. Now he thinks Auckland Uni has snake pits and pools of lava.
Yeah, that'll be very interesting. You know, the old classic, avoid the lava. As long as you avoid the lava, you'll be safe.
Okay, now, just I guess we start with budgeting tips because that's kind of like probably the most, you know, the most top line sort of best place to start for people who are making their way to university for the first time. What would you say are the key principles of a solid student budget and how do you stick to it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're absolutely right around the foundation. So setting up a budget is key. And I think maybe the best tip I can give anyone or the student, any students, is to write one up. You know, whether you write it up or you have an app, as long maybe, you know, especially young people, right? Having apps around budgets are always good. That's probably my best tip. But, you know, there's a guy called Dave Ramsey. And Dave Ramsey is a very popular money expert in America. But he often says, he goes, a budget tells your money where to go rather than wondering where it went. Because often, you know, you can always be left going, hey, you know, get your salary, get your paycheck or your student allowance. And you're like, hey, where's all my money gone? So quite often you're like, oh, what have I done with it? Hopefully you haven't spent too much at Shadows, right?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, what would be the most common budgeting mistake?
Definitely making it unrealistic. So quite often, you know, people, just like when the new year starts, right, people get on the buzz around, hey, I want to get fit, get healthy and start a diet. Same thing happens with a budget. And often people go, hey, I want to get a budget done. I want to get better with my money. But often it should come back to making it realistic and achievable. When you make those two ingredients come together, it really makes sure that you have a really good budget. You're setting yourself up for success, which is the key part.
What's your advice? Obviously, most people these days are going to need to work. What's your advice on balancing part-time work with studies to stay financially stable? But obviously, there's that risk of burning out. How does one balance that?
Yeah, you know, over the last couple of years, it's been pretty tough for, you know, a lot of young people to balance work and balance study. I think the best thing you can do is always just have a bit of a reset at the end of the week. You know, review what the week's been like. And you know, if you find yourself that study or work's been too much, then you need to balance that out. Then that's a good time or opportunity for you to change the next week. And, you know, it might mean there might be some sacrifices you might need to make, right? And that might mean, okay, I've got a big assignment that I need to get to, or I've got an exam that I need to set. So it would be like, okay, let's just toho, pump the brakes a bit. I can't do the hours that I want to do, but I need to get this done. Because then the next week you can potentially make it up for it in that sort of space.
Yeah. Oh, you mentioned apps. What sort of budgeting tools or apps do you recommend for students to help track spending?
Yeah, absolutely. In this day and age where digital is the place to be, definitely top budgeting apps. And this has come from a website called moneyhub.co.nz. It's a free independent website. And they've got their top 8 budgeting app. And the number one is called My Booster app. And actually, My Booster is a KiwiSaver provider, but they do offer a web-based budgeting app, which is great. It's free. And if those who love spreadsheets and love numbers and love putting things online, that's a great app. And you got number two, I think that one there I had there is Money Lover app. And then number three was Pocket Smith. And Pocket Smith tends to have a lot of marketing power out there and stuff. You can get a free version or the paid version as well. And in Westpac, actually, we have our own one called Cash Nav. It came in at number 7 of the top 8, but it's a great one where you can, it has a dashboard, pulls all your data together automatically and stuff. But coming back to that My Booster app, budgeting app, it actually, you know, automatically pulls all your, it links up to all your bank accounts, whether you're with Westpac, ANZ and all the other banks. pulls in that data, and then you can start looking at where you spend your money.
Is it one of those things where you just tag everything and it's like, oh, I'm spending this much at the dairy, this much at on fast food, this much at the pub?
Yeah, it does that categorization for you, which is really cool, and you know, it gives you that visual, and then you can start to understand, okay, where are my bad habits and my behaviors taking me around how much money I'm spending my money on? Because often people think they know what they spend their money on, but actually when you write it down and put it down on paper or an app, then you start to visually see, go, oh, actually I'm spending a bit more than I actually think.
Yeah, totally. Now on to debt traps. It's kind of could be the first time a lot of people have access to credit. Now, what are the biggest financial pitfalls students can avoid when it comes to credit cards or buy now, pay later?
Yeah, very interesting around that. Maybe start off with that buy now, pay later, right? It's a very popular form of getting credit, and it's quite quick and easy. One of the pitfalls with that is that often, you know, young people or anyone who gets them, they tend to get too much, right? Because often the sell is that, you know, if you can't pay for that $100 item straight up with that $100, you can pay 25% of it, right? So if you've got $25, you're like, yeah, sweet, pay $25. But then what happens is that everyone gets the next item, that's another $25 or another item, and they have a whole lot of payments coming out left, right and centre. Sometimes it's out of sync when they get paid, and then that's how buy now, pay later tends to generate their income, is when people can't pay and then they have to charge them that fee. So really encourage those who are using buy now, pay later. If you're really disciplined with your money, it's really good to potentially use those types of forms of payments. But if you're a little bit borderline around, you love to spend your money, gotta be careful, gotta be mindful around that as well. And then coming back to you know, credit cards, if you do have a credit card, it's quite an oldie but a goodie. The biggest tip I can ever tell anyone is always, you know, pay the full balance off each month if you can. And if you can't, always pay the minimum amount, and at least you're putting something towards it. And then eventually, if you don't need it, don't have it. Because quite often people say, I just have it as a backup. And that's okay. But, you know, that temptation, and if you're not disciplined again with your money, it can become a bit of a trap if you find yourself tapping on the credit card.
On to managing the student loan. How can students manage their student loan effectively to avoid unnecessary debt accumulation?
Yeah, that's a good question, Johnny. And I think if people sort of, there's a couple of views from it, right? If you're not able to pay for all of or some of your student lending from your own cash or any family that might be able to help, and you end up taking a student loan, right? You know, you just got to review and make sure that you go hard in your studies, you know, because you're actually going to be paying for it, right? I know a lot of people get into study, get a student loan, and then probably not finish off. But this is where this investment in yourself will pay the biggest, you know, dividends when you finish your studies and you know, hey, I've got that student loan and I know what I'm using it for. But yeah, I think depends on the circumstances around how people might do that. If you have access to where family and friends can help pay for part of your studies or whatever that might look like, that's great, awesome. If you don't, you know, take those opportunities where, you know, you are able to access that student loan and then, you know, use it appropriately, right? That student loan also comes around with your student allowance, because quite often, sometimes you might have to pay that student allowance. So I don't want to be hearing that people are down in shadow spending their student allowance, right, on beers and chips and pizza.
Now, what are some good financial habits that people get into now at the start of their journey? What are a couple of good financial habits?
Yeah, absolutely. When I used to be a banking consultant, I used to have uni students come into our bank, and quite often one of the cool tips or things I used to see them do was they opened up two high interest savings accounts, which was really cool. So with those two high interest earning accounts, one would be have all their money in it. So if they had $1,000, they'll put $1,000 in one, and the other one had $0 in it. And quite often with those high interest earning accounts, you have to put a contribution or make a monthly payment to get the maximum interest rate. But what happens, right, is that life happens and you might need to withdraw some money. So if you withdrew money out of that high interest earning account, you lose all your interest for that month. So what will happen is that, say for that $1,000 they've got in that one account, they say they need $200, so they take out, so what they would do is take out the $4,000, you know, put $200 into their account that they need it for, and then the $800, put it into the other account, which has a zero balance. And that other account, the computer goes, oh, cool, there's new money in here. I'm going to give you the high interest rate for that month. So it really balances out the loss of interest that you might have earned for that. But the caveat there, Johnny, is that it's best to do that at the beginning of the month so that you're maximizing the daily interest for for that day. So hopefully that's a nice little tip. Or sometimes I used to have students open up online savings accounts where their salary would go into, and I always thought that was quite interesting, because a lot of them thought, hey, better to have some of my money sitting there earning some interest rather than having it in a checking account earning zero interest. So they would have an online account, give their boss their online savings account number. Their money goes into it every time they get paid, and then quite often you might have a couple of hundred dollars sitting in their online savings account earning some interest rather than just sitting in their bank account or the check account earning zero interest. So, and then transferring it out to another account and then using that as their spending money.
Sweet ass. Now one last question for you. If a student finds themselves like struggling with debt, what are the first steps they should take to try and regain control?
Yeah, I think that first one is to acknowledge it. I think it's always a good part to say, hey man, I'm in trouble, finding things difficult. Talk to family and friends, reach out to them, and then after that talk to the institution that you bank with, or if you've got any lending with, and then they can help you because they have dedicated teams to make sure that they can help and support you in that space. And then access the free tools that are out there, right? There's lots of budgeting services, sorta.org.nz. you got, what was it, Money Talks? That's a free 0800 number that you can call, and then it's 0800 345 123. It's a confidential number. You can call them if you find yourself in financial stress, or you can give FinCap's another great website that they can go and visit to find out some more help and support. And they actually have free money mentors or free coaches to help get students back on track.
Someone has suggested seal your credit card airtight in a Ziploc bag, then put it in another bag or container filled with water and put it in the freezer. If you need your credit card, you need to thaw it, putting some delay on impulse purchases.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely, Johnny. I love that one. I used to actually, the funny thing is the bag, love the Ziploc bag, but we used to say put it in a 2-liter ice cream container with the block of ice. So and then that's what it is, right? That delayed spending and that opportunity to, hey, just pause, break. Do I actually, because it comes down to those old classics, right? The need versus want. If it's a need, it was a want. If it's a need, well, might need a share. Often I always say these three questions to myself when I purchase any product or service, that is it going to benefit me? Is it going to benefit my family? And, am I going to use it again? And if the answer across those three is there's a no, then I'm like, okay, better recheck myself. So,
Rad. Hey, was it from Westpac Shop, brother? Thanks for coming in this morning. I'll probably see you around campus.
Yeah, 100%. Cheers, guys. All the best.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.